Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is the Tokens Radio Show where we talk about all things Bitcoin, crypto, blockchain, and Web3. Thank you for joining us today. My name's Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
Good.
And we got Liam back.
Yay.
Welcome back,
hello,
Liam.
Hello.
From his long adventure in L.A., and I guess it was a good trip, yeah?
It was a good trip. I mean, I don't particularly like Los Angeles. It's dirty and stinky and scary. And
yeah, I bet it is these days.
No, it is. And I mean, I go pretty frequently. Not like, I mean, 3 or 4 times a year, and it's crazy. Like, every time I go, it's dirtier and scarier. And
but on the other note,
got some great opportunities, so.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you did fit through the door, so that's really good. So didn't blow your head up.
No.
So we love that.
No.
Yes. Thank you. And it's so nice to hear some of his adventures and good things that came out for him.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And we're going to have Liam play some of his music for us in our intros and our outros, eh?
Yeah,
that
sure.
Sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. So keep in mind for next week.
All right. Yeah. You can always find our archive shows at KCNR1460.com and on our website at tokensradioshow.com. And you can always reach us on Twitter at Tokens Radio Show. And just a mention about Twitter.
Twitter.
Oh, my gosh. I am seeing feeds that I haven't seen in over a year. Definitely things have loosened up on Twitter. So that's just
I'm thinking about going back to Twitter. I've been off of it for years. But I think, and I know that's where a lot of good people communicate. I do know that.
And there was some very interesting memes about the Pelosi incident that happened.
Paul Pelosi?
We'll leave it right there.
Okay. We won't go down that rabbit hole today. We have other ones.
No. It's quite... Okay, and we have Jerky Jim in the chat room. Yes, we're going to be listening for that next week, too. Thanks, Jerky Jim. Let's see, if you'd like to call in, our phone number is 530-605-4567, and the chat room is open because they just let Jerky Jim in, so there you go.
Yes, Liam has to let you in, so give him a little bit of time if there's, you're not getting right in, but it is working.
And it was another heavy week this week in crypto news, and we're going to get to that after Crypto Speak, and then we're going to chat about how to survive an economic downturn. And if we have time, we're going to talk about Bitcoin scams.
Oh, say it's not so.
No, it does happen.
It's in every world. Unfortunately, there's always those scammers out there.
You bet. But Bitcoin before showtime was at $20,663, Ethereum at $15.88, XRP is 46 cents, and XLM 11 cents. Luke Gibson of Gibson Appraisal sponsors this portion of the show. In a changing real estate market, you can't take a chance of getting the wrong valuation. Serving Shasta, Siskiyou, and Trinity counties for prompt and accurate appraisals, contact Luke at 530-221-0154, and that's 530-221-0154.
And like we say every week, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
He really is. And keep it local. We are trying to support local things, and he's a local company.
Yes, he is. So what's going on in the crypto speak?
Okay, in the crypto speak, I picked bullish and bearish.
Okay.
Okay. Those terms get thrown around a lot on the stock market thing, and I don't know if people ever really understand what it means. And last week we talked about trends, and Candlelight. Candlestick, I should say. Candlelight. Candlestick.
You're thinking about your anniversary.
Yeah, I am. So, anyway. So, bullish and bearish both represent a pattern in the market, which we knew. Although they are mainly applied traditional stock markets at first, they have found their way to cryptocurrency space. A bullish market will feature upward trends in the price, while a bearish market will represent towards the down. So, the downward trends. So, when you hear people use that, it happens. Sometimes the cryptocurrency goes along with the stock market.
Right.
It all depends on what the whales are doing, who's propping up what they want to see or make you think's going on with the market, whether they're propping it up or they're, you know, making it go down so the whales can come in and purchase more.
Yeah. And that, and the whales are usually institutional investors, but, you know, we're going to be talking about this. It's great that you picked this term because we're going to be talking about the advantages of being in a bearish market like we are right now.
Right.
Yeah, and that's going to be coming up in a segment here after the news.
Okay, here we
great
go.
Great terms.
Thank you.
Yeah, so here's what's going on in the crypto news this week. This first article that came out by the Denarian, Visa filed two metaverse trademarks on October 22nd with plans to manage digital and cryptocurrency transactions, cryptocurrency wallets, non-fungible tokens, NFTs, and digital currency, among others. If the application is approved, it probably will be, Visa will also offer software for managing digital transactions and auditing cryptocurrencies. At the same time, the payment giant seeks to provide virtual environments to facilitate interaction for recreational leisure and entertainment. So, you know, they're just trying to carve out their space because right now the plastic world is making it's going to go away and they've got to make themselves relevant. So this was a timely move on Visa's part.
There you go. And the next article we have is from the Epoch Times, or Epic Times. I've heard it both ways, and so we'll say Epoch today. A coalition of 19 state attorney generals from across the country launched a formal investigation into six major banks last week, citing legal concerns about the bank's ESGs. And we've talked about the ESG before. Investing and in their involvement with the United Nations Alliance fighting CO2 emissions. In particular, officials are investigating the bank's involvement in the controversial United Nations Net Zero Banking Alliance, also known as NZBA. The global network of banks convened and overseen by the UN pledges to eliminate emission of so-called greenhouse gases by 2050, by transforming their lending and investment practices. Could be pretty interesting. Yeah. We have corporate banking and we have investment industry trying to flex their muscle and pressure businesses into political direction and political action. But that's not their function. You know, they're not supposed to be taking that into consideration when they're taking your money or setting up your accounts or anything like that. Their job is to provide credit and earn profit for their shareholders.
That's all their job is.
Yeah, they're not supposed to micromanage us. They're not supposed to look at who we are and what color we are or what we do or how we do it or who we talk to. Even as the states push back, the Biden administration is working to support and entrench ESG policies in American business. European regulators are too. And you're seeing a lot of it starting across the pond, as they say.
Right.
And it's moving its way over here quite rapidly, really, if you look around.
And they're getting their share of pushback. Look at all of those pension plans that were out of Oklahoma and Missouri who pulled out of BlackRock. So the war on ESG is on. You've got your proponents for it and you have your opponents. And it's going to be interesting. So we told our financial guy we don't want to be in anything that has boards that are ESG friendly.
Right.
We want to make sure what we're investing in is based on profits and losses. That's
right.
It. What their job's supposed to be.
And if you're dealing with somebody that's taking that in consideration, it can make a big difference in your future.
Oh, yeah.
Even right now, what you're able to get, your livelihood, I mean, it can affect a lot of things.
Look what's happening to the oil companies. Those who have been following the ESG protocol, that many of them are being sold out, and, you know, the smaller operators are being acquired by the bigger companies because
right.
they can acquire those lease agreements and so forth. And it's all a lot to do with ESG. I'm not going to say all of it, but most of it is.
Yes.
Well, this next story is from PayPal, about PayPal, and got news for you. PayPal lied.
No, say it's not so.
PayPal backpedaled on their backpedaling. The $2,500 fine for violating PayPal's acceptance use policy has been reinstated. Now, we talked about this, what, a week or two ago?
Yeah.
Where they PayPal put in some verbiage into their acceptable use policy. They said, oh, it was a mistake. They said that they took it out. No, they never took it out. This part of the update is the last bullet point under the actions we may take if you engage in any restrictive activities section. So please go look there, because I haven't received an email saying that they've updated their use policy.
Oh, no, I haven't either.
So what that tells me is that they never did take it out. They floated a weather balloon to see how it was going to be accepted. People didn't like it, but they didn't really change it because, you know, it's a monumental effort.
Right.
To get these changes to put into place, they have to run through their slate of attorneys and run through their board. So this isn't something they just kind of decided to do and not do. This
right.
was always here.
Right. And they probably are hoping that if people just, you know, forget.
Don't notice it. Yeah.
Forget a little bit. Oh, yeah, that was, well, it must be okay, you know.
You can count on us to keep you informed.
There you go. So the next article is Benzinga?
Yes.
Yeah. Warren Buffett recently invested more than $1 billion in Nubank,
yep.
a leading Latin American bank. Huh. Buffett is known for giving out nicknames from time to time, including calling the leading cryptocurrency Bitcoin rat poison squared. However, Warren Buffett could be more exposed to the growth of cryptocurrency market than he knows or would probably like to be. Oh, he knows.
Yes, he does.
He does know. Nubank is launching its own cryptocurrency through a partnership with Polygon to power its loyalty and rewards for customers. Why is it important for Buffett? Buffett has been one of the biggest opponents of Bitcoin. Ha! Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he didn't like it.
Yes.
And the rise of cryptocurrency. Buffett has even labeled enemy number one of Bitcoin. Oh, let's see. So if I talk bad about it over here and people don't buy it or give up their Bitcoin, then I can be a whale. Ha! Huh. And I can go gobble it up mm-hmm. some more?
Yes. And they have been. Charlie Munger, too.
Yeah. Buffett could have direct or indirect exposure to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, which means when he is talking negatively about Bitcoin, he is speaking against a growth area of at least one of his investments. Nothing to see here, right, folks? Look over here, why my hand over here,
right. Yeah.
You know.
Obviously, he sees the value in this investment. Otherwise, he would not have invested
right.
in it at all.
Don't be zigging when I'm zagging.
That's
or
right.
whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
As they say, pay attention to people like Warren Buffett. Regardless of how you might feel about him, watch what he's doing, he's saying.
Yeah, it's not like he hasn't made money.
Right.
Aaron, it's not worth any money.
Well, this next article came from CoinMarketCap. Coinbase is scraping together transaction fees whenever USDC is bought or sold. Coinbase is scrapping transaction fees whenever USDC is being bought or sold using fiat. The exchange claims this is part of a move to boost global adoption, with research showing three times more USDC is bought with dollars than any other currencies, and that there is untapped potential with the stablecoin, and it could be more practical to use than fiat in some countries with unstable currencies. We reported on this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
And while transfers through the legacy banking system can take multiple business days to settle, it says USDC transactions can be finalized in under an hour. This is why we use stablecoins. Could the USDC end up becoming a central bank digital currency? U.S. officials have claimed it's okay to use the private sector to come up with a digital dollar, and there's no need to reinvent the wheel when crypto companies are creating a model for a coin that will stay valued at $1. Only time will tell.
Yeah, only time will tell on that one.
Yes, we will see.
All right, so here's a crypto news flash, or maybe not. Elon Musk has X app for 8 billion people. We'll have crypto wallet with Bitcoin and Ripple payments. The long-awaited purchase of Twitter closed on Thursday, as we mentioned earlier. Musk immediately fired the CEO, CFO, and chief of censorship person. You think things are changing around over at Twitter?
She has more of a formal title, but this kind of summed it up.
I don't know if we can say that kind of title on the air, but you understand what we're trying to say. The purchase of Twitter will enable all voices to be heard. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Yes.
But could there be more behind the purchase of Twitter? It appears Musk
acquisition.
I can't get it out. That word will help accelerate his all-in-one application dubbed X app with everything app. X is an app that will run on the social media platform Rails with crypto wallet capabilities, including deposits and withdrawals. The everything application by Musk will support top digital assets, including Bitcoin, Ripple, Dogecoin. Nonetheless, Musk could develop a new utility token for the X application. It has been reported that Binance secured a minor position with $500 million investment in the Twitter acquisition. It seems like Musk has the technology and expertise to make X a success.
Now, I find it interesting because Twitter is now going private. It's no longer a public company. He did not take in any other investors such as Sam Bankman-Fried from FTX, but he did take in Binance. Now, Binance has the expertise. They're one of the largest, I think they are the largest exchange. And I just find that this relationship is very well planned. So there's definitely some forward thinking in, well, obviously with Musk, everything he does has a lot of deep thought in it. And this is a no surprise type of investment. So,
yeah, and this could really change things.
He didn't need the $500 million when he's buying for $44 billion or $54 billion, whatever he paid. The $500 million is a drop in the bucket,
right? Yeah.
So, this next article is from the Denarian again. The cryptoverse started out as an entity free from the shackles of centralized systems. However, with time, decentralization began taking a backseat in the ecosystem, and the prominent financial tech firm Ripple and cryptocurrency XRP was time and again called out for being increasingly centralized. Now, however, things seem to be changing with Ripple reducing its XRP holdings. However, according to Ripple's Q3 2022 market reports, the firm reduced its holdings below 50% of the total supply for the very first time, and this is reportedly considered a huge milestone for the firm, which means that what this is saying is that Ripple is proving that they no longer are controlling the consensus mechanism, you know, the consensus voting,
right,
where they have less control. And I didn't put it in here, but out of the so many nodes that are running, I think it's well over 150 nodes, they only have 4 that they control. So they just don't have the voting power that everybody thought that they had.
Right.
So, and that is the end.
That is the news for the, well, we could always find more, but that's the top ones we thought that we would want to share with you this week.
Yeah.
because it's a rich environment for the new South Tower.
Yeah.
So I guess we've been trying to do like stockpiling techniques and give people different things to put in their tool belt. And I don't know, we're not quite time for.
We've got a few minutes to start this.
We thought we'd do how to survive an economic downturn, and that's part of that goes along with stockpiling and be aware of what's going on in the world and in your backyard too, as well. So,
and this one's more economically or financially focused than just going out and buying a bunch of staples. So, and we'll just kind of start going through this. We got a couple of minutes to talk about it. So, as with any greatest teacher, you've got to go back and look at history. And we can learn a lot from history if we only listen to it. And I think we can all realize right now that we're going through an extraordinarily volatile time.
Yes, we are.
I know in my entire lifetime it has been the most volatile. I know the 70s were quite volatile, but this seems to be much more. It might be because I'm now an adult and not a teenager.
I don't know. I think this is times I don't think anybody's actually ever really seen, because there's so many moving parts.
Right.
That are affecting us. I mean, in the past, it was just one or two things.
Yeah.
But now when you look around, it's almost everything in our life is affected with what's going on, and it's not good.
And in the 70s, we weren't aware of all of the global interconnectivity as we are today.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the 70s, because I'm sure you remember, I know I do, you know, gas lines and things like that. You know, here a few months ago, I talked to younger people, and they go, oh, they never had that, or really? And it's like, oh, yeah.
Well, what history did you have, my friend?
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly, because that was a big thing back in the 70s. You could only get gas on a certain day, or when your license plate ended with a certain number.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It was even an odd day.
It was even an odd days. And I'm telling you, it did make a big difference, just that one piece in how we operated.
Yep.
Even
exactly.
Back then.
Yep. So what's going on now, we have both the political and financial upheaval coming together at the same time. And some people might call it, oh, it's just a speed bump. But no, we're near the end of a very long-term debt cycle that has been going on since the 70s.
Right.
Which is really the beginning of what we're facing today. Ray Dalio, the billionaire investor and hedge fund manager, is quoted as saying, because we are in a late stage of this big debt cycle, I believe cash is and will continue to be trash and prefer to buy higher returning non-debt investment assets. And that might be a good place to leave it here before we go to break, huh?
Just before we go, I have one last thing to say is, you know, we were talking about the difference between the 70s and history. It, in the past, it's only been like the United States, or it was only Europe. This is a global.
It's global.
This is global. And with that, we are going to take a break, and we will continue this conversation on the other side. You're listening to Tokens Radio Show on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, and we'll see you in three.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks, gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco & Brew.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
The new 32 Below ice cream shop realizes that ice cream is more than just ice cream. Remember when you got good grades and mom would say, "All right, we're going to ice cream." Remember when the team won? It was like, "We're all going to ice cream." How about an ice cream date with the one you love? Yeah, ice cream is definitely more than just ice cream. It's a celebration. But guess what? You don't need a reason to go out for ice cream. You just need a cool place that's open every day of the week. That place is 32 Below Ice Cream Shop on Caterpillar Road, right next to Dill's Deli. 24 flavors of ice cream, shakes, malts, or soda floats, cookie sundaes, brownie sundaes, or the classic banana split. At 32 Below Ice Cream Shop, we believe life is a celebration, and anytime is a good time for ice cream. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop at 5136 Caterpillar Road next to Dill's Deli. Open Monday through Saturday, noon to 9, Sunday, noon to 7. 32 Below Ice Cream Shop. Anytime is a good time for ice cream.
Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. He did the monster mash. From my love notary in the castle east to the master bedroom where the
vampire. Well, there you go. I had to do some Halloween music, okay? It's tomorrow. Everybody's dancing in the studio. Do the monster mash. Well, welcome back. If you want to call in, the phone number here is 530-605-4567. And before we went to break, we were talking how to survive an economic downturn. But I think before we get back up on that, you wanted to give a shout out.
I sure do. Hey, Jeremy, if you're listening, Jeremy Wollum from the Sleep Number, we just want to say thank you for the wonderful service, the care and attention that you gave us when we came into your store. And obviously you made a wonderful sale, and we're so thrilled to have worked with you. So we just want to give you a shout out and recommend, if anybody is looking for a good night's sleep and you need a new bed, go into Sleep Number, go see Jeremy Wollum at 530-222-2300. That's 222-2300, and he'll take really good care of you. Thank you, Jeremy.
Awesome. Yeah, we're trying to let people know about the good people in our community.
Yeah, by the way, they're over there by the vitamin shop on Churn Creek Road.
All right. So due to, you know, the extreme levels of debt and seemingly no way out, governments are starting to get desperate. And that's not just here, you know, it's in other places.
It's worldwide.
Yes, it is. Historically, this means governments will come after their citizens' assets in a variety of ways.
Yep.
And we're starting to see it. Devaluing the currency. Via high inflation.
Yeah.
You think we have any of that going on?
It's by design, folks.
Forcing bond yields below interest rates. Negative real returns for bondholders.
Mm-hmm.
Raising your taxes. You know, that's one of the first things they always like to try to do. Raise your taxes because we need more money.
Yes.
You know, pay. So.
And they raise your taxes in other ways. It might be gas taxes, sales taxes, property taxes. I mean, there are other ways to get your, pay more in tax.
Right. And it just keeps going on and on and on. You know, the income tax, you know, in the beginning was probably like at about 25%. Now we're probably well over 63%.
Well, that, yeah, they were going back into the
30s. Yeah. I mean, when you stop and think about it, it used to be, we used to say 6 months out of the year you work for the government. It's more like 8 or 9 months out of the year you work for the government just to pay the taxes now.
An asset seizure. I mean, in the 30s, gold was confiscated. And it was outlawed from citizens owning gold, 70s as well.
Yes.
And don't be surprised if that happens again. So we're entering a period of financial repression. And the last time the world was in a similar pattern of inflation, stagnant growth, and international conflict was in the 40s. And we all know what happened in the 40s.
Yeah. And they're starting to, like I said earlier, you know, we've heard of people's bank accounts being seized, you know, officials coming and speaking with them in regards to different things, just right here. So,
sure,
and
locally.
It's just the beginning, so.
Right. Well, Lynn Alden, she's an equity and investment strategist, is quoted to say, and if you're in the Bitcoin circle, you all know who Lynn Alden is. Whenever a sovereign government becomes highly indebted in its own currency, financial repression follows. This means that interest rates on the debt are held below the inflation rate for a long period of time, and institutions are mandated to own the debt. Just think about how that's playing in our life today. It is a very true statement. So how do we protect ourselves during times of volatility? And there are ways to go about that. And,
right.
You know, the first one would be hard assets perform the best.
Yep, hard assets. And we've talked about them before as like gold,
right?
Real estate, commodities,
mm-hmm.
Cars, paintings. It's not on here, but I mean, there's several things, you know, but each one of these assets might have a weakness. So
right.
You've got to kind of look at what the asset is, what you're trying to accomplish, and maybe how much you have to invest in that asset.
Right.
So, like gold is very good. I mean, it's the king of kings in the metal world. It is highly centralized. It's hard to transport. So, that is a downfall. I mean, it is bulky. It is heavy. It's easy to confiscate.
And it's currently available, whereas silver is not.
That is true. And again, just like most assets, they are able to manipulate the market.
Right.
And you have to know about those things.
Yes.
Commodities are extremely volatile and risk political capture during the term oil.
1930s and
yeah, that. Like yeah. The gold, like you said before. Real estate is liquid.
Illiquid.
Mm-hmm. You're subject to taxes. I mean, you don't realize it, but what happens if they raise your property tax where you can't pay them? Then what happens?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we live in an area where our property taxes, you know, they can reassess. But we do have some safeguards, but there are communities where your property taxes can vary widely. And people can lose ownership of their property, even if it's owned free and clear, because of their property taxes. It usually happens to somebody who is in their late years of life. And it's sad that they become the homeless of the people who've owned their homes for a long time.
Right. And like you're talking about, they could go up or whatever. Do you remember a few years back, they actually decreased people's property tax, but it could work the other way. Wonder if all of a sudden they come back and say, you know what, your $200,000 home, I think it's worth $500,000 now, and you need to pay tax on that.
Well, yes. However, I kind of disagree with that a little bit in that because we're safeguarded because of the 1% sales tax rule, what they would have to do is increase the county and city taxes in order for that to happen. They could reassess the value of our property. But that has to be based on those factors. So you
unless you've done improvements.
Well, yes, that's where they get improvements, and you get a permit. Yes, that's where they can really jack up the value.
That's where they can get you.
Yes,
and don't forget about stocks.
Right,
they're not a hard asset, and of course they have risk, just like anything, and maybe more so in some ways because of the way the market is. And the rise and the fall and the interest rates. There's a lot that goes into the stock market. And you have to be careful because it could be there one day and gone the next.
And it really comes down to how well you thought out your execution plan and how are you going to make the purchases and when are you going to take something off the top, take it off the table. So it's very important to have a good execution plan in place.
And then we have other hard assets.
Well, what if you only had a hard asset that wasn't vulnerable to overreaching governments? What would that be? Could it be?
Bitcoin.
There you go. Yes.
I'm thinking it's worth a shot. We know.
Now, you all know that we're kind of a fan of Bitcoin.
Right.
This is the reason for it. You know, it is probably the most attractive asset for preserving wealth during periods of financial repression.
So let's look at it. Mm-hmm. Not just because we like it. Let's kind of look at this.
Right.
Is it easy to confiscate?
No.
Not really.
Nope.
Is it easy to transport, though?
Yes, it is.
You don't really have to transport it, do you?
Well, it's
maybe a wallet?
It's in your wallet.
Yeah. You know, it's not like you gotta get a 10 suitcases together and pile them with it, you know. So it's good. Is there a fixed supply of it, though?
Yes. There's some scarcity factor to it.
Okay. So what happens with the fixed supply of the asset if the people demand it more?
I think the price goes up.
Yeah. So you kind of want to, if that's one of your strategies, you might want to start getting some now. Not to mention, Bitcoin does not rely on trusting politicians, banks, or other counterparties.
And it doesn't rely on a corporation or an entity to keep it running.
It basically relies on you, right?
It's running on the nodes that keep running. Yes.
Yep. So there you go.
So the next tactic on making it through an economic turndown is to become anti-fragile by reducing your expenses and eliminating debt. We've talked about this before.
Yes, we have.
You know, it can appear obvious, but how often have you honestly sat down and taken inventory of all your necessary versus unnecessary expenses? A good example might be how many subscriptions do you have? Do you know, we're in a subscription-based economy, if you think about it. Everything is based on a subscription. You have your TV shows.
Everything you pay.
Amazon purchases. You have magazines. You have all sorts of things. Patreon. I would leave a tip here. These things add up.
Right.
Do you need those expenses?
Well, yeah. And, you know, like, because I do taxes, you know, sometimes you look at people and they go, no, I don't, you know, I have a very tight budget and I don't spend that much. And then you start writing it down and they go, oh my goodness, I didn't realize it. You know, at the end of the day, they're spending X amount of dollars and they go, I didn't think it was that much. Like you're saying, good example. Yeah, it adds up quick when you're paying for this and everything's got a price.
Yeah. sometimes you forget about subscriptions and they just automatically renew, and they could be a pretty pricey subscription.
Yes.
And when you're running on hard times and you look at that $200-$300 pop that you might have there, it's like, ouch, where'd that come from?
Right.
And these spending patterns are very reminiscent of what happened in the Roaring Twenties. So you want to be careful with the frivolous spending habits. I mean, we are in that environment. We have many people that have a very high-paying jobs. They're in the tech arena, and they don't think twice about what they're spending. But, you know, hard times hits everybody.
Right. And they don't realize a lot of those people, you know, back to the plastic world. And I'm not saying it's bad, but, you know, they've got huge debt on their credit cards at a huge interest rate. And they don't realize how much they're actually paying until they really look at it.
Yeah.
And it can be quite a bit.
Yeah, if you're running, if you're paying interest on your credit cards and you got a credit card that's at 18-20%, that's one-fifth of your income. But not of your income per se, but that's one-fifth of a $100 bill. Let's put it this way. If you take $100, 20% of that is one-fifth of that.
Right.
So what if you're running a $1,000 balance? Yeah, that's quite a bit of chunk of change that could be going somewhere else. But, you know, not all debt is bad. You know,
no, that's true.
2 to 4% mortgage interest rates, they're very advantageous. I mean, looking at real estate investing, I mean, here – current interest rates are well over 7%.
Yeah, I'm hearing
so
close to 8 right now. Yeah,
they're popping up there. So when you are able to acquire property and maybe in some creative fashion assume somebody's low interest rate that they have on a piece of property, and you're able to take that over and operate that property, you're doing pretty well, and that's well below the current inflation rate of 8%. That is definitely good debt to take on.
You know, one thing you may want to look at is like your groceries.
Sure.
You know, food and everything is getting really expensive. And sometimes maybe you just need to rethink like your menu for the week or the month or however you plan it out. And you may have to eat a little bit different or buy differently.
Right.
Maybe only make, you know, one trip to the store.
Good point.
Not seven times a week.
Right.
You know, I know people like that.
I do too, the day of. Yeah.
They go, oh, I think tonight I'll have whatever. I got to go to the store. And it's like, boy, I don't operate that way. But it's something to look at because, you know, it may be this week, maybe pork chops are on sale or whatever.
Right.
So instead of having steak, you go, well, maybe I should go to the pork chops section this week to kind of help with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Pork chops are pretty good.
Yeah. So you have to look at that and look at what all your bills are that you have coming in. Can you cut some of the bills back to the subscriptions?
Right.
Or, you know, a lot of us don't have, you know, like DirecTV or anything like that, because it's just got to be too much. Some of us has cut that. Landlines. What about, you know, how many people have landline telephones anymore?
Right.
You know, things like that.
They're $70-$80 a pop to have that landline because they're not popular anymore.
Right.
So, and one other thing we haven't, it's not on here, but do you have a rainy day fund? You should have at least 3 to 6 months of living expenses, because what if an unexpected expense comes up, like an auto expense or a medical expense? That's what that rainy day fund is for. So if you have all of this debt, debt that's not helping you, credit card debt.
Right.
That can set you up for trouble if you have that unexpected medical expense if you're living from paycheck to paycheck.
And sometimes, not so much with credit cards, but with certain loans, sometimes you can go back in and renegotiate them and maybe get a little bit better deal.
Yes.
So it can help in the pocketbook, too.
It does help if you've been a very good customer, always paying on time. You can generally just call up and ask, hey, is there something that a little bit better you can do on my interest rate? And they'll give you, you know, probably just a quarter of a percent without having to reapply for the card.
Right. And it can definitely help.
Well, you know, one of our, as Warren Buffett says, you know, one of our favorite people, be greedy when others are fearful. So, and that kind of leads to this next point, is create your own origin story. And what does that mean? Bear markets are historically when foundations of generational wealth are laid. So let's look at where we are right now with Bitcoin, for instance.
Right. Good example.
How many people are willing to take a risk on this new economy, this new system, this currency, this thing, this blockchain, right? But look at the internet in the 90s. How many people invested in that? And we have many multimillionaires because they did. And generational wealth was created then. We are living in that period now. So if you are able to be in a position where you can take an advantage of the time, this is time. It's knocking on the door.
Right. And we've seen this many times in the past where wealth has transferred or transformed for a lot of people.
Right.
Because of this. And again, going back to Bitcoin and your analysis of the internet.
Right.
It's the same thing. You're on the cutting edge of something.
Right.
Make it or break it type thing, you know. So sometimes you got to roll the dice a little bit.
Yes. And, you know, I think looking at what appears to be the winners, I mean, if you look at Bitcoin, that's been around since 2009, it has definitely weathered the storm of ups and downs. And pretty much like any other large asset class, like real estate, when it's had a down, when it comes back, it usually exceeds
where it was
previous gains of the previous market. So Bitcoin is running that same path.
Right. And, you know, people say, well, it's just a scam. And we've talked about this many times. But everybody knows we are going to go digital. At some point, there is going to be digital currency more than what there is now.
Right.
So it just depends on where you want to be in that equation.
You know, and I don't think anybody thinks this, but I know you and I do because we talk about this. Soon it's going to seem unfathomable for most investors to ever own a full Bitcoin. Are you a whole coiner? That's definitely a goal.
Right, it is a goal. That's definitely going to be a goal.
With Bitcoin at $20,000, it's a lot. Okay, but at 67,000 last year, it was untouchable. Right now, this is touchable for many people who are thinking about what to do with repositioning maybe 401k money or something like that, where you can invest in Bitcoin in your IRA account.
Well, and that makes me just think of our wonderful friends over at Swan.
Yes.
Even if you don't have a 401k or whatever, you can set it up. And that's actually obtainable goal,
right?
At $20,000, at taking out so much a week,
absolutely.
You wouldn't. It's surprisingly how quickly it can add up. So you could be one.
Absolutely. You know, Bitcoin's down 71% from its all-time highs, which is a tremendous buying opportunity. This is not financial advice, but you have to weigh all of the facts and look at all of your investment classes out there, and Bitcoin definitely is in on that. Got to look at what the institutional investors are doing. In times like it is right now, institutional money is going to safe investments, and they're moving money into Bitcoin.
Right, and I have to go back to my little old 90-year-old man that back in 2009, 2010, he could have bought it for .00003, whatever it is. Is that a nice rate of return now? Sure, it's still a good rate of return right now, folks.
There was an article just recently with Kathy Wood from ARK Investment. You know, she's somebody who gets your attention when she speaks, and she put $100,000 into Bitcoin when it was $250 a coin. Do you think she's happy right now, even at $20,000?
Not just heck yeah, hell yeah. She's a happy camper.
Yes. So she had more than one or two Bitcoins. She has a lot of Bitcoins. So, and as you said, Linda, you know, rather than trying to time the market, wouldn't it be better for most investors to set up an automatic recurring purchasing routine to buy Bitcoin?
I'm telling you, I wouldn't be having what I have with Bitcoin, which I'm not going to tell you how much or anything.
No, you never should.
But if it wasn't for Swan, because, okay, let's just take, for example, okay, I'll do $10 a week, and you think, right, well, that's not that much.
Right.
I can afford $10, and it's going to take me forever to stack any amount up, but, you know, it really doesn't, because that's $40 a month, and pretty soon, you know, it adds up $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, yes, and you go, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't miss it.
Right.
And now it's, you know, 4 or 5 months down the line, and I got, hey, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. And when it goes up in value, so will your investment, your $40 a month investment becomes, you know, just because of gains, maybe $100 a month investment.
Right. And I don't look at it like, oh my God, it went down today. Oh, it went up today or whatever.
Yeah. Just don't worry about that. That's called dollar cost averaging.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, having said that, you can set it and forget it with Swan, but did you know that we have an affiliate relationship with Swan Bitcoin?
We do.
And if you were to go to swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow, you would actually get $10 worth of free Bitcoin by using our affiliate link, and you can get a free book, which will start teaching you about Bitcoin. It's pretty cool, and, you know, that wasn't the whole purpose for this segment, but we can't think of anybody who is, you know, first of all, they use Prime Trust.
Right.
So when you use Prime Trust, when you buy Bitcoin with Bitcoin, you own the Bitcoin, and it's custodialized with a trusted custodial company who assures your purchase and your ownership in the Bitcoin.
Right.
Not all exchanges can do that. In Bitcoin, at Swan Bitcoin, I wouldn't call it an exchange per se, because you can't sell your Bitcoin back to them. You can buy
Bitcoin.
No,
it's just kind of like a savings. It's like a savings account almost.
Well, and they're coming out with more. I have a feeling they're going to change some. We're going to learn about more about that when we go down to LA to Pacific Bitcoin and find out more about what Swan's got planned.
Right.
But right now, I can't think of a better place. I mean, we've talked about them before. There are other over the counters, you know, such as the Coin Trading Company. We've had Jesse and Glenn on the show. They're great people. And if you're looking to buy crypto other than Bitcoin, they're definitely a good place to go. You know, there's Caleb and Brown, who's in Australia. They're fabulous. But, you know, Swan, if it's for Bitcoin, you want to just set up a debit program where they could debit your checking account and take a little bit out of your checking account to buy your Bitcoin. You just don't worry about it.
That's what's nice.
It's wonderful.
It's not just because, you know, we use them and all that, but you can do any amount, you know, because everybody's budget's different.
Right.
You know, maybe I can do $100 a day where, you know, you can only do $5 a day. And it doesn't matter. You don't get dinged or anything because of the amount you're doing or not doing.
Yeah.
It's just the automatic thing. So, again, it's really good no matter what place you are, a beginner or been in it a while or whatever. It just helps. It helps a lot. So there you go.
Well, looks like we're coming up to the end of the show.
Wow, that was quick.
Yes. Well, you can find us on Telegram. We're not there as often because of Telegram, just thing going on with there. But you can go ahead and find us on Twitter at Tokens Radio Show and our website at tokensradioshow.com.
I'll have to get back on Twitter, I guess.
Oh, it's definitely
I know
well worth it.
Yeah, that's where most of Bitcoiners go.
But we'll see you next week, folks.
All right. Have a great week.
And as a great man once said, the government which governs best governs least. So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
Room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be. He...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.